Well, this is Calvin Ward, and I want to welcome you to tonight's show. All right, this is Calvin Ward, and I want to invite you and welcome you to tonight's show out there. I hope you are tuning in and listening in. I hope you were able to bring a friend in here, and I don't know what it is. Every time I play the intro to this show, something goes awry, and I end up having to do something else, but it is okay. What we're going to do on tonight, we're going to be entering into our School of the Prophets, Enoch School of the Prophets. This will be the first empowerment session that we'll be doing. I just want to just talk to you for a moment and bring some encouragement. But before we get into the show, you know, I just want to remind everybody, if you're listening out there, look, life is too short. Listen, life is too short. Life is too short. If there are people in your life that you love, you need to let them know, look, find them, tell them, let them know that you love them while they are yet still in the land of the living. So many times we wait until it's the person's funeral, or we wait until they're not here anymore to tell them that we appreciate them, to tell them that, look, we love them, to tell them, look, I love you, I appreciate you, I thank you for what you do, and we need to let people know that we love them while they're alive. And not be hypocrites and do it only when they're dead. So this week, I know you're going to hear this tomorrow. You might go to church. Look, take a chance. If you see someone, if it could be a mother at the church, it could be your pastor, it could be an evangelist, a minister, and you know, and it could be your mother and your father. You know, our parents are so underrated, and we'll tell everybody else that we love them and that we thank them, and we won't tell our parents anything. So if you get that chance, look, tell somebody that you love them and you appreciate them, and let them smell their flowers while they are yet alive. Don't be a hypocrite and them to not know anything until they're dead and they really can't hear you and they're dead and gone. And I'm going to leave y'all on that note. I'm going to leave y'all with another little tidbit here for ministers. It's very hard for ministers sometimes. If there is a minister, a pastor, an evangelist, a fivefold ascension gift that you know that has imparted into your life and that has really been crucial in helping you to get where you are today, then look, call them, let them know, send people an email, write a letter. We are in a day and an age where you can communicate with people. Look, write them a letter, let them know that you love them. Can you do that? All right, so we're going to get into the show. show that's for tonight. I just wanted to talk to you guys on tonight and just give a little empowerment session here. And I just wanted to really talk about the mind and talk about thought for a little bit, because we're in a world today where there's a whole lot going on. But, you know, what I'm finding out is this, especially in ministry, with everything that's going on in ministry and with all of the things that are going on in the world, your mind is just consistently bombarded by thoughts. And we understand that thoughts, you know, we think at the speed of thought. And if we could say what is the speed of thought would be equivalent or faster than the speed of light if we could measure a thought. Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. Lightning comes just like that. Lightning is a quick and a flash. Can you measure lightning? Can you measure how fast it is? Lightning happens. Lightning flashes happen within seconds. And can you measure the time of a thought? Can you measure the time from when you did not think and the time between you did not think something and then you thought something? Can you measure that time? That time is, you know, to us, we would think about that, it would be immeasurable. But Christ said, he said, look, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from God. How did he fall so fast? What happened here? What happened there? And we're going to touch into that, because I want to go into the book of Genesis, and I just want to go over a couple of scriptures as I talk about thought, because this is something that we need to understand. We need to understand thinking. We need to understand thought. We need to know what thought is. How does thought operate? How is the universe mental? We need to understand things like that, because so many times, especially in Christianity and today, you know, with everything that's going on, everybody has a title. You know, everybody is an apostle. Everybody is a prophet. Everybody is a pastor. Everybody is a teacher. Everybody is an evangelist. Well, there are some key things that need to happen in our lives in order for us to be able to walk in the authority and that calling that we claim that God has given to us. And not only that, what I'm finding out in ministry in these years that I've been in ministry is that a whole lot of people like to always be spiritual all the time. We like to stay in the mystic. We like to stay in the mystical and the spiritual, the supernatural, and we like to just look deep. But what I'm finding out is the people that look super spiritual all the time are usually the people that are not spiritual at all. They have no depth to them. And what I'm finding out is that it is the people who can explain to you why this is happening, what is going on, how to go to the Word, how to find it. They can explain to you the spiritual processes that are going on behind the scenes. They are the people who really have the power and the access to the heavenlies, who can help you to get to a destination in your life and help you fulfill your purpose and help impart something to you. Now, with the school of the prophets, what is the Enoch school of the prophets? Enoch school of the prophets, it's a prophetic school that is in the making that the Lord has placed in my heart. And why is it named Enoch? Enoch was the seventh from Adam, according to the Bible, in the book of Genesis, but then he was not. If we would research Enoch, there is a book of Enoch. There is an Coptic, there's an ancient Coptic book of Enoch, or the Ethiopian book of Enoch. And in the Jewish history, or in the Jewish lore, Enoch was known as the scribe of the heavens. According to some ancient Jewish lore, some of the stories say that Enoch wrote many books, and that these books were protected in a building that was built to withstand all types of weather, or to withstand the test of time, so that these books and all the writings of Enoch, that they were buried and that they were placed under this building so that people in the future would be able to find them, and that these texts would stand the test of time. It's kind of funny that we have came across the Dead Sea Scrolls and some other texts within recent years in this century, and the theologians, not theologians, but the archaeologists, the biblical or historical archaeologists, have let us know that they have found other chambers and they have found other texts that are under the grounds and in the Qumran caves. There are other texts and other chambers down there that they want to get access to and pull up. So with the book of Enoch, some say it's, you know, canonical, some say it's not. Pick your choice. But the book of Enoch is still here. He was heralded as the scribe of the heavens. And according to the book of Enoch, there were some things that that happened according to the book of Enoch concerning the angels, fallen angels, And I believe I talked about that on a previous show. But anyway, that's why the school was named from Enoch, because Enoch was someone who had spiritual substance. He was a mystic. He was a prophet. And Enoch was one who could write, who could explain, and who wrote down the revelation of God. And he was sort of a mediator between, in the Jewish lore, he was a mediator between the angels and between God. Because they, according to the story in the book of Enoch about the angels that had fell, and then they came into the earth and corrupted the earth, and mankind was crying out, and God flooded the earth to start mankind over again to get rid of these giants or this breed that was in the earth at that time. So that was the case. But that's why we named it Enoch. Enoch was separate from God, and Enoch was not. The Bible also says that Enoch was taken. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And so he was taken. And another thing, some believe that Enoch and Moses will be the two prophets in the book of Revelation that come back, because Enoch and Elijah, because they never saw death, because they were the only two who were, quote unquote, transferred, or what you could say, raptured up. Some would say translated. So they never saw death. And so in order for them to see death, they would need to come back down here legally. And so some believe they are the prophets. Either way you go, Enoch holds a special place in the Bible. And that's why I wanted to attach his name to this, because he held some weight. He represents revelation, he represents spirituality, he represents knowledge, and he represents relationship with the Lord. And he represents having a relationship with the Lord is so close that he was and then he was not, or that he was translated as he was. And so that's why we named it that. And looking across the Christian sector, so to speak, there are a lot of people, everybody wants to be spiritual. Well, what is behind that spirituality? If you have really attained a certain place in the spirit, then you should be apt enough to teach concerning that level. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 5, Paul, which some believe that Paul was the writer of that book, some believe Apollos was the writer of that book. And, you know, some even would believe that Barnabas was the writer of the book, but it has been attributed to Paul. But in it, he says, when you should be teachers, there was a point where they should be teachers. He said, I wanted to give you strong meat, but I cannot. Because at a time that you should be teachers, you cannot handle the strong meat. I'm paraphrasing. You cannot handle the strong meat. And this is what he told them. And so we need leaders of substance. And so the School of the Prophets is aimed to make leaders of substance, to really give knowledge behind the spirituality. And having said that, I want you, if you are listening and if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Genesis. I want you to go to the book of Genesis. And I want you to go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, because we are going to talk about thought. Now, there was a movie called The Matrix, and The Matrix was a movie that really explained a lot. It had a lot of spiritual undertones in the movie, and there were books that were written on the movie The Matrix and the spirituality behind The Matrix, or the philosophy that was behind The Matrix. And what we're finding today is there are a lot of people who have been inducted or trained or schooled in the ancient mystery schools, or in ancient secret societies, or in various modern-day branches of it. And so they are privy to some ancient doctrines and to some ancient principles and to some ancient philosophies. And these gentlemen and these women who have been weaved into the fabric of our economic society, of our social strata, they have been so weaved into every aspect of our society that they have even infiltrated Hollywood. And so we see that these people are communicating information to the masses through TV shows like Star Trek, through movies like The Matrix, and through some of the alien/UFO movies that we have seen, and through all types of science fiction movies. They communicate knowledge to us that these things do exist, or that these are some possibilities, but at least they just open the door to it. So they put it out there, but we the average person would look at it and say, oh, that's just science fiction. But there is a meaning behind it. For instance, I'm going to use Star Trek. If you were to ask the average person how many races there were on the planet, what would they tell you? They will tell you, well, there's a white race, an African race, and, you know, a Chinese race, and they'll continue on, not knowing that there's only one race on the planet. But in school, we are taught that everybody is a different race, because if you are a different race, that means you're a whole different, you have a whole different incompatible genetic code and blood. And that means everybody's at odds with one another. But that's not the case. There's only one race on this planet Earth, and it's called the human race. And within the human race, you have ethnicities. And so we are consistently being bombarded with information that is meant to compartmentalize our thinking in a way that people can come in and divide and conquer. But if we can change how we think, and if we can understand thinking behind the scenes, we can understand how the universe operates behind the scenes. We understand what's going on behind the scenes when we decree, when we declare, when we say something, because we're quick to decree and declare. But do we know what's going on when we decree and declare? So let's get into the word. In Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And I will read from the scriptures. And it reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, that's verse 1 and verse 2. Now, I want you to notice at verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." The first time God spoke, he spoke in verse 3. In the beginning, when everything was created, there was no speaking going on. I want you to get that. I want to place emphasis on the fact, because it says, in the beginning, God created. How did God create? And what we've been taught in Christianity is that, oh, God created by speaking. But that's not so. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, how did he create it? Think about that. How did he create it? We teach people that God created it with his words, but that's not the scriptures. What happened in verse 1, it says God created the heavens and the earth. And you continue on in verse 2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And some theologians would have you to believe that this was a period where they call it the gap theory, that between verses 1 and 2, that there was this immense space of time which scientists can, which helps to allow scientists to place in that gap of time their whole evolutionary theory and their whole geologic time scale and all the different time periods in Earth's history. And they try to place it in this time period. But that's neither here nor there. What needs to be emphasized on this is the fact that when God creates, everything is created and everything is perfect. God does not need to speak to create. God just is. And in order for something to happen as quick as God just is. When he thinks about something, it is and it exists because of who he is. He is God. He is the all. He is the all. He is omniscient, omnipresent. He is the everlasting God. He just is. And by the sheerness of who he is, when he thinks, things happen. When he thinks, things happen. How do I know that? See, and the Bible says that in him we live, move, and have our being. In him we live, move, and have our being. I'm going to help you to bring some new revelation to that scripture. But let's keep this train of thought. Genesis 1, how did God create in the beginning? In the beginning, God created using his thoughts. God does not need to say anything in order to create. We are in the physical realm. We are in this physical realm. So therefore, we are the speaking spirits who need to give instructions to the physical realm in order to recreate. And I just said it right there. When we go to verse 3, in verse 1, everything was created. Verse 2, the earth was dark and without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, what happened between perfection in verse 1 and darkness in verse 2? This is where I tell you that the fall of Satan happened. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan falling as lightning." This is where the fall of Satan happened. If you would go to the book of Revelation right now, I want you to go to the book of Revelation. And if you go to the book of Revelation, I want you to go to chapter 12. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, because between verses 1 and 2, This is when the fall of Satan happened. And when Satan was cast, this is that rebellion of Satan, when he was cast down from the heights and cast into the earth, he sent the earth in derision. He sent the earth in derision. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. He sent the earth in a state of chaos after God had created everything. And the book of Revelation says in chapter 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and her crown, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And here is verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them down to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. Verse 4 says, and his tail, whose tail? That great dragon, that old serpent, that old dragon called Satan, his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. What is the stars of heaven? In the Bible, we know that stars of heaven is another phrase that is used to refer to angels. And so when Satan was cast from the heights, he drew a third of the stars of heaven out of the heavens with him. They went with him. So now that God had created everything, now the earth is dark and void. We know that Satan is in the midst, for he is the prince of this world. He is the god of this world. He is the prince and the power of the air. That's why his name is called Beelzebub, being translated Lord of those that fly. Who are they that fly? Those that are with him. They were cast down here into the earthly realm and sent all of creation in derision. This is where we see in verse 3, when God begins to speak, he is not creating anything. He is putting things back in order. He is putting creation back in order. And we see when God puts creation back in order, what does he do? Then he creates man. We are what he created. He created us. So now that he put everything back in order, he created us to subdue, to have dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply. He placed us here as lords over the earth to prevent it from going back into the state of chaos that it was in. And so he placed us here in the earth as his image. What does this have to do with thinking? We teach people in Christianity that you need to decree and declare, and you need to speak it, and you need to say it, and you need to create it with your mouth, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We decree, and we're decreeing, and we're declaring, but we're decreeing and declaring with no understanding. So if you decree and declare all day long, but with no understanding behind what you're saying, then you don't have the pattern, you don't have a concept, you don't have a pattern to go behind what you're decreeing and what you're declaring in the earth realm. Why is that crucial? Because the first thing is this, you need to know that you're not creating anything with your mouth. What do you create with? What do you create with? The Bible says that there is nothing new under the sun. Let me help you out. There is nothing new under the sun. Now, if there is nothing new under the sun, then that means that, I'm going to say this, that means that everything that is has already been done. Now, that's my little two cents. If there is nothing new under the sun, and we know that that's what the scripture tells us, that means that everything that is, everything that was, and everything that will be has already been done. Where has it already been done? It's already been done in the mind of God. Therefore, if everything that is, everything that will be, everything that has been, has already been done, and everything has been done in the mind of God, that means if you are speaking, what are you really doing when you're speaking? Because you're not creating anything when you speak and decree and declare. So that is a fallacy. You're not creating anything when you speak and when you decree and when you declare. Because everything that, there's nothing new. Every atom, every molecule, every piece of paper, every tree, every piece of wood, leaf, every herb, every spice, every brick, every cinder block, every house, all the atoms and elements and minerals that are in the universe are already here in the universe. You're not creating anything. So what do you create with? If God created the earth just by thinking about it, the only thing that humans are able to create out of nothing are thoughts. How do we know this? The Bible says that the things that are seen were made from things that are not seen. Or the Bible puts the things, and that's my paraphrasing, but it says the things that are seen are made from things which do not appear. The things that are seen are made from things which do not appear. I want you to think on this for a minute. I really need you to think about this for a minute, because I want you to really understand what I'm saying here, because I want you to really understand it. I want you to think about this. The first thing is, look, what do you create? The power of your creation is not in your words. God have mercy. The power of your creation is in your thoughts. The power of your creation is in your thoughts. We've kind of been duped in Christianity because you think you're just going to decree it, say it, and it's going to happen. No. The power of creation and the human faculty is resident, and it lies within the power of your mind. Go to the book of Hebrews. Let's leave Genesis, and I'm going to prove it to you. Go to the book of Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 3. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, the worlds were framed. Understand something. When you frame something, you give it structure. Structure can be paralleled, or it can be likened to instructions. I want you to understand that. But it says that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So what does that mean? That's in the Bible. It says the things that are seen were made from things which do not appear. The things that are seen were not made of the things which do appear. The things that you see in this world are made of things that are not seen. Hello, atoms, electrons, protons, neutrons, quarks, and quanta packets, where we get quantum theory from. Because at the lowest level, you have packets of energy called packets of quanta that are vibrating in and out of time. And because you don't know, they have no finite space, or they're not particulate. They're not a particle. They have no finite place or definition in time, because they're vibrating at such a frequency that you can't really find them. These packets of quanta are vibrating in energy strings. Hello, string theory. So we know that the fabric of the universe is packets of quanta consisting of vibrating strings that are vibrating so quickly that you can't tell whether they're in time or out of time. They're in a whole nother existence all by themselves. Hello, God, particle. They're not particulate. You can't put your finger on it. So we know that everything we see are made of subatomic particles. Nuclear particles, quantum particles. So now that we understand that, so going back to Genesis 1, what did God create the world with? He created it with a thought. He thought about everything, and he created everything. So if that is the case, and it is the case, then everything that is going on right now, this universe with the capital U and the universes with the smaller U, everything that's in existence in the universe is nothing more than a thought in the mind of God. And if everything in existence is nothing more than a thought in the mind of God, then the scripture is true. In him we live, move, and have our being. Brings another revelation to looking at that scripture. In him we live, move, and have our being, because we are a thought in the mind of God. And in him we live, move, and have our being. This is why we can rest, because everything that goes on and everything that goes on in our life, we are always at the end of the day still resting in the mind of God, because we are always on his mind. So now that we know that the image of God on you is the ability to create with your thoughts. It's your thoughts, the most valuable commodity, the most precious entity on the face of this planet and in the world is the human mind. And your mind is resident in your soul. And I call it the soul spirit, because we say man is a trichotomy, but the soul spirit, because the soul and the spirit are both the eternal natures. Your soul doesn't go one place and your spirit goes the other place. You understand what I'm saying? You have a soul spirit. And if the truth could be told, if the truth could be really told, your soul, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's the book of Ezekiel. But the thing is this, then what is going on with your spirit? Your spirit is the breath of God that has been superimposed on your soul to allow you to connect with him. When you choose not to connect with him, you have no access to that ability or that part of you. But what humans do, we try to gain access to that area illegally through witchcraft, divination, and the occult. That's what the witchcraft and all that is about. But your soul spirit, your soul is where your mind, your will, and your intellect is. Your soul is where your imagination is. And see, the Bible lets us know where the power is or what the emphasis is, because in Corinthians, casting down what? Imaginations. High things, and that casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. What are we talking about here? Imaginations, talking about your mind. High things, thoughts, your mind. Everything's coming against the knowledge of Christ, knowledge, your mind. This is where everything is. Your thoughts are the only thing that you can create. So what happens with the creation, or what we call creation, is really recreation. Because what happens, like the book of Hebrews said in 3, it was through the word of God that the worlds were framed. When you frame something, you put up a structure for it that you can build on top of it. So what happens with us when you decree and declare, what you are doing literally is giving instructions through the authority that is in your spirit, that has been superimposed on you because God gave you, breathed the breath of life in you. When we decree and we declare, what you are doing, you are sending out instructions to the physical realm, and they recognize and pick up the authority of God in your voice and in your instructions, and you give existence or this physical world the instructions by which they need to go out, regather themselves, and recreate or make what it is that you have just prophesied out of your mouth. This is not creation, but this is called recreation. Because the power is in your thoughts. So in order for you to really get what is coming out of your mouth, you have to be able to give the earth good instructions. So if in my mind I can think thoughts, I create in my mind. That's why the enemy comes against your mind, gets your mind pulled there, so preoccupied that you can't dream, that you cannot think. And so that's what the battle is. It is always for your mind. And we've heard people say this, but they have not placed it in a blueprint. They have not made a schematic to show us how this thing works. This is how it works. You get the word of God so in you that you are able to think God thoughts. And if you're thinking God thoughts, now when you think and you are creating and you get vision, you can create things in your mind using the word of God as a foundation or as building blocks. And when you create it in your mind, how do you get it in the physical world? The link between your mind, which is the reality, or what is in your spirit realm, what is in the spirit realm, and the thoughts, your vision, what you see in the spirit realm, and to what you see in the physical realm, is your quality of thinking, and it is your mouthpiece. Your mouthpiece is the bridge that connects your mental faculties, or the spirit realm, which is in your mind. Your mind has direct access to the spirit realm, and it connects it to the physical realm. So it's all in what you believe, and the world has grasped this concept, because Paul said, I believe, he said, I speak, therefore I believe, therefore I speak. Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. The ancient philosophers let us know, I think, therefore I am. And so we need to grasp this concept, and we need to understand that if we are going to rule and have dominion and reign, then what we do is when we get a vision and get the word of God in us, and when we have a vision, it can be for a business or whatever it is, in order to bring that vision to pass, we have to decree and declare back by faith into this earth realm and continue to speak and believe it and speak and declare succinct, clear, brief, concise, meticulous instructions into this physical realm in order for it to come to pass. And what happens when we do that? Now that you have a vision, the scriptures tell us in Habakkuk, write the vision down on tablets. Make it plain. so that they that read it can see it and run. So when you write your vision down and make it plain, not only are you seeing it, but now it's written down so that someone else can see it and start to get vision right along with you. So you create it in your mind, you write it down on paper, you speak it with your mouth, and as you're bringing it to pass in your actions, your faith is increasing. So you have a cycle of faith that's consistent. I see it, I'm saying it, I'm doing it, and it's backed by scripture. This is what's happening while you're decreeing and while you're declaring. When you're decreeing and you're declaring, you can have the understanding that your words are going forth into the earth realm and they will not return back void, but they will accomplish the work they were sent to do. But they are recreating. They are going into the earth realm, finding the materials that you need, finding your resources, finding your people, finding the things that you need to bring it to pass. And so it's going to take some time. But you can have the faith and confidence that while it is taking time, that while you continue to pray, to continue to fast, continue to decree and declare, that these words are working on your behalf because you saw it and it's backed by the power of the word of God. In him we live, move, and have our being. So if we are nothing more than a thought in the mind of God, then that means this whole universe is just, is comprised of different levels of existence or different levels of thinking. Man is set apart from all of the creation based on what the quality of his thinking, and our society is divided into different levels of existence based on the quality or the level of thinking of the men that are in it. And we're going to go on a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to get into the different levels. We know that everything in existence, the universe, the stars, the solar systems, everything that's in existence is nothing more than a thought in the mind of God. So in this physical world, there are different levels of thinking. And so access that you have, or the power or the level of spiritual authority that you have in this realm, is based on your level of thinking. Because if you think on a certain level, then you are not subject to the laws on every level below you, but they are subject to you. When we come back from the break, we are going to get more in depth concerning spiritual authority, power, decreeing, and declaring, and using our words. I want you to listen, and we will be right back. Hello, everybody. I am back here. I'm having some difficulties here, but I don't even know how many. I don't know the time that's left. It cut off. The computer froze up. Some other stuff happened, but it's what it is. In the universe, you have different levels of thinking. You have different levels of thinking. And so if the universe and everything that is in it, the physical universe, all the laws of physics, the laws of science, everything that governs the universe, this physical realm that we live in, all the way out into outer space, into the subatomic, you know, level, all of that good stuff, all of our laws and everything that we have in this physical realm are broken down into different levels. Our sciences and our different branches of knowledge have tapped into those levels of thinking and have discovered some of the laws and how things operate on those levels. And in the spirit realm, it is the same thing. In this world, by understanding how the laws operate on each level, you can move and go in and between on that level. And so spiritual authority is then based on what? It is based on law. If you are operating in the spirit, you are not subject to the law. Law is for the existence that is this physical world. The laws of this physical world has its own levels in it. If you are operating in the spirit, you are not subject to these laws. Hello, miracles. You are operating in the spirit. You are not subject to these laws. If you walk after the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The enemy has his laws, his directives. He has his codifications. He has his charters, his bills, his laws, all his little precepts
and these little methodologies that he has that this world operates according to. But when you fast and pray and operate in the spirit realm, you are not subject to them. They are subject to you. That is spiritual authority. Understand that on this level, I understand the laws of this area, and I understand how they operate. But guess what? You're either going to use those laws to operate, you're going to use them to go in and between, and you're going to master that level, or either you're going to be raised up to another level of understanding, another level of thinking, where now you were on level one. Now that you're on level two, you are only subject to the laws that are higher than you, not the laws that are lower than you. You know that God doesn't really deal in law. God defines law, so he is outside of law, and he is the very definition of what law is, because he defines it. He defines it. And it's a little ironic. God defines law, but if we're operating in the spirit, we're not subject to the law. Therefore, what does that mean? God is still a God of order, but we're not subject to the law of this world. We're not subject to these laws, but now we have been opened up to a whole nother world and a whole nother level where there's a whole nother level of thinking, level of laws, level of operation. So spiritual authority is you're on level 8, therefore levels 1 through 7 are beneath you, and you are only subject to the laws that are higher than you, and every level that is below you, you are master over. You can go in and between. You understand that. Spiritual authority. So when we understand that by operating in the word of God, we are not subject to the laws of this world, that is the faith and understanding that we can have when we go and lay hand. We teach and we operate in miracles. We know that we are not subject to the laws of this world. So you expect that when you walk in the knowledge of God and the power of God, and you understand that it is the thought process. If everything in existence is thinking and thought, that's what you create. How do people create their healings? How do you create your healing? You must get God thoughts concerning your healing. You must see yourself healed. You must create your healing in your mind. You must see yourself healed. It is all on how you think. Now, thought is also a vibration. Thought is also a frequency. Thought is a vibration and thought is a frequency. And I want to talk on that because the Bible tells us that the power of life and death is in the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We have the authority of God in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of God is the framework. We read that in Hebrews for everything that's going on. And as you continue to speak and continue to speak and continue to speak, you put frame on top of frame. It's like he told the prophet Ezekiel with those dry bones. As he continued to speak, the bones got up. The bones come together. Then sinews begin to grow on the bone. Can these bones live? And you continue to decree and see things come alive, but it takes time. But now that we can understand that, look, let me decree and declare what it is that I see. Our problem is we're decreeing and declaring what other people have told us to decree and declare, or we're using the Bible as it is a book of spells, like we're just going to decree it and declare it and it's going to happen. But our mind has not been lined up with our spirit, which has not been lined up with our mouth. You only use your mouth once your spirit and your mind has been lined up with the word of God. Then you can use your mouth to begin to recreate things in this physical world. And you do that by continuing to speak and decree and declare it after you have mastered the other two processes. Master your thought process. Place the word of God inside of you. Control how you think. Control what you think. Control how you deal with situations. It's not always going to be easy, but it is the process. I might not feel like I am happy. I might not feel like I'm saved. I might not feel like being nice. I might not feel like decreeing and prophesying and speaking well concerning my marriage, concerning my relationship with people, concerning the job, concerning what God is doing in the city and in the state. But you speak out of faith. You call those things that be not as though they were. Using the what? Using the faith of God. So now that we understand that creation is not more so with your mouth, creation is more so using your thoughts and controlling your thoughts. This is why the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he, because the ultimate reality is mental. The ultimate reality is thought. Thought is what is real. And as you think, so are you. What does that mean? As a man thinketh, so is he. Thoughts are directly connected to substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So how do we take this information and apply it. We use it in our lives. We now know that when we get the word of God, it's not just you getting all hyped up and speaking in tongues and decreeing and declaring, and women sounding like men when they preach, and, you know, men just screaming, hollering, and yelling, using their voice. It's not about all of that. It's about understanding. And what I'm finding is people that really understand the spirit realm, really understand what's going on behind the scenes, that really have spiritual authority, are able and apt and capable to break it down and explain it. This is why Christ had disciples, because he understand the power. He understood, the power of impartation. But here's the thing. You cannot impart to the next generation unless you fully understand it yourself and have mastered it. This is why they called him master. Rabbis are called masters, because they understand those things that they are conveying. And in the school, when you deal with the school of the prophets, or you deal with the prophetic or the apostolic or apostolic fatherhood, when you deal in that level of passing mantles and impartation, you cannot pass a mantle or an impartation without having an understanding of the weight of the mantle that it is that you are receiving. And that's what this generation has. We have a whole lot of people who are getting past mantles who don't even know the full scope of what a mantle is, and they don't even know how to operate the mantle, because they have not been trained. You don't get a user's manual with the mantle. You get years of training, so that when you receive the mantle, there comes an understanding for the mantle, and there comes an understanding of what it is that you are receiving and how to operate in it. So in the school of the prophets, understanding the power of thought, understanding properties of thought, understanding the mechanisms of thought, understanding this world, understanding the mental aspect to it, and that everything begins in your mind. And that's what makes you being, that what makes you a being that is made in the image of God. Your mind. You can create with your mind. And that's another thing that separates us from the other beasts or the animals on this planet. It's because we have the ability to speak and communicate. We have speech in our communication. They don't have speech. We have speech, but we can communicate with one another. We can plan. We have intelligence where we can think and we can formulate. Therefore, we can create. And we have the ability to speak it into creation. Creation was made by God. Therefore, when you have the power of the Holy Ghost in you, when what is the Holy Spirit but the sound of God, so that when you speak and decree and declare, it is the sound of God that every particle in the universe is recognizing. It is not you that is speaking. They are recognizing the voice of God in your mouth when you speak. This is another reason for the miracle signs and wonders, because when you have power with God, everything in creation recognizes the voice of God. Everything recognizes that voice. Even demons do fear and tremble. They being everything in the universe, recognizes the power of God. All creation recognizes it. Your thinking process. So what are your thoughts? What does the Bible say? Think on these things. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of a good report, praiseworthy. What does the scripture tell me to do? And for years, you know, some of us have believed, oh, that's just a bunch of hogwash. You ain't going to just think good thoughts all the time. But you know what? It takes a fortified, embattled spirit to be able to think positively all the time. It pulls energy. Your body has a nervous system. Your nervous system acts as a transducer. A transducer is something that can change energy from one form. They can change energy from one form of energy to another. What happens when we are not thinking positively or thinking God thoughts is that when the enemy sends suggestions in our airspace and we pick it up in our mental mind and we start to focus on it, it sends negative energy in our body, and our body translates that negative energy. Our nervous system translates that negative energy in your body, and it gets translated into your body as the form of sickness. This is why changing the way you think concerning getting the mind of God in you can literally change your physical body, because he will sustain you and it will reverse the effects of sickness in your body. If you want to be healed, you get into the word of God. You change how you think. You change the negativity around you. You speak and declare those things that are praiseworthy. Think on those things that are lovely, and you meditate and you focus on that, and you slowly change your body. You reverse the effects that the world has had on your body. How has the world had that effect? The world has had that effect because your mind has not been renewed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there is a process of transformation that needs to take place. There's a process of transformation, transfiguration, transduction, that all needs to take place. Transfiguration, transformation, transduction, transducing, changing things from one form to another as far as energy is concerned. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword, cutting asunder. The word of God is a force. It is a force to be reckoned with. Words are sounds. The Holy Spirit is pure energy. Listen, listen, listen. Everything is energy. Everything is sound. Everything has a power. Everything has an effect. The Bible and the word of God, dynamic power when spoken through a purified vessel or when used. And that's why those who are not, you know, who might not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that is the ability to do miracles. If you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, but having the power of the Holy Ghost is the ability to do miracles. That's the power he gave us to it. Everything has power behind it. Sound are frequency, sound operation, sound are waves. The waves move at a certain speed, and there is a gain. There is a power behind waves. And so what causes the words that you say to move faster and go quicker and do what it is that you have told the world to do? What makes the waves that come out of your mouth move faster? What is the difference between someone saying, be healed now, and you're healed 3 days from now, or as Jesus said, be healed, and they were healed in the self same hour? Where is the power that is backing your words as I close? Where is the power? That power is the power of the Holy Spirit. That power is the gain of a purified spirit through fasting and prayer. And I'm closing here in the last couple of seconds. I hope you have gleaned and got something on thinking. We came out of the book of Corinthians. We came out of Genesis. We came out of Hebrews. And we even went to the book of Revelations. And we touched a little bit in the book of Romans. I hope you understand that it is your thought process that's going to base everything that you see in your life. It's your thought process that's going to be the mechanism by which everything in your life unfolds. But the key to that is, once you tap into that, use the word of God and begin to recreate your life to mirror what God wants your life to be, that it's key that we take that same power to use it to change the world. Because when you take it and use it to change the world becomes scared of you. The world sees the power that's in you, and you can change a world for Jesus, change a world for God, and change a world for the better. This has been C.D. Ward, and I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for tuning in to the show on tonight. This has been another session of Strategically Prophetic with Prophet Calvin D. Ward. Be blessed and enjoy the rest of the night. Remember, you can download this session, burn it to CD, and you can play it in your car. So remember that with all the messages, you can download these and play them in your car. Be blessed.